This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
Donald, do you have any other questions for me around entrepreneurship, investment, anything I can sort of shed advice on?
Yeah, I think there's a lot I can ask you, but it's just a matter of how much time do you have. But I'm actually very curious is, you know, what opportunities do you foresee in real estate for you?
Depends with regards to how you frame the question, right? I'd say, you know, if you're looking at the midterm and you're looking at portfolio, wealth preservation, right? Multifamily is a very, very good asset class to be part of. And I think that's obviously a big part of Bluefield's portfolio, my personal portfolio. Then I also see other segments too, like because of coronavirus and because of trends like online shopping, the industrial warehouse space is phenomenal, right? Companies now are worried about the supply chain, so they're actually holding more and more stock. This is driving more and more demand for industrial warehouse space and storage facilities. I'm the largest investor in a few self-storage facility projects, but also at Bluefield, we have a lot of land. We're turning into warehouses. Amazon's one of our key tenants, and we're just seeing an explosion there. It's such a safe asset class with very good yields. It's nuanced, of course. It's got its own quirks, but I think I'm also talking to overseas investors. For our real estate fund, I'm talking to investors throughout Asia and the Middle East, and everyone wants to be, you know, part of this trend for logistics. And so I think that's one. And then, you know, I do think there are opportunities in hotels. I do think Airbnb is a systemic threat to the industry, but travel will return back. And I think there are opportunities for hotels. There's a lot of hotels going bankrupt right now. We're betting on a few ourselves. At Bluefield, we own a bunch of hotels. These are more value-focused hotels. They're not luxury resorts, more like your Hilton Garden Inns and Sheratons. But, you know, I've seen some deals out there that are way, way below replacement value cost. I'm very nervous about the office space, though. And I disagree with many commercial real estate investors. I'm nervous about office space specifically with regards to places like San Francisco and New York. This work from home movement is real. I have a bunch of friends in San Francisco and most of them have left the city. And tech companies like Pinterest, Google, Twitter are mandating that you don't have to come into the office for a while, and that behavior is going to change and that behavior is going to stick and companies will be able to hire remotely. And I think the nature of office is going to change significantly. Even if you have an office, right, you still have to make a bunch of tenant improvements for your tenant to comply with the new social distancing regulations and standards. So office, we don't own much of office. We would like to pick up an office asset, but I don't think we're going to be buying personally in San Francisco and New York. I do think there's an opportunity for other urban areas that aren't tier one cities where people might, you know, flock to regions where there's a satellite office in place. That could work. Retail, wow, retail's the hardest hit sector, you know? And, you know, it's sort of the hedge against that is industrial, right? But retail, unless you've got an anchor tenant like a grocery chain, right? Be very, very worried. There are plenty of retail assets that are bankrupt right now and they're struggling. And even not just retail assets, like, you know, real estate assets. I also mean the actual shopping companies themselves. If they haven't got a huge online component, which again is why you need to have an industrial, you know, warehouse presence, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know, Amazon's driving this, but, you know, companies like Nike have done a great job with seeing an online sales increase. There's other segments too, like data centers and cell phone towers that are interesting. We don't have exposure there yet. And then there's one opportunity that I'm really fascinated by, always have been. Vacation rentals are getting crushed right now. There are so many people who were just so used to making money putting their vacation rentals on Airbnb, but they will return. And I'm also curious about, with more people working from home, we're going to want to be in nature more and more. And I really do think there's an opportunity to buy land and put our, to put modular cabins there, for example. And this is a theme I'm actively looking for. I'm looking to make a startup investment in the space. I've personally made an investment, by the way, in a company called Boxable, which is a crazy concept. They do foldable houses. So it's prefab, but they've re-engineered the process so everything can be shipped. They realized it wasn't the prefab modular homes that presents the opportunity. It was the cost of getting them shipped because of the way they were designed. So these homes come in within 1 to 2 hours. You can just literally unfold them and live in them. Big trend for affordable housing too and accessory dwelling units. But a technology like that, if you could implement that in a land area and sort of do the mobile park, RV park model and create cabins, that to me is something I've been researching and I'm quite excited by. So that's my perspective on the pure real estate side. We didn't talk about prop tech, but that's the real estate side.
That's good. Yeah. So where are you predominantly investing in then?
In which sense? You mean
What areas?
I've got property, in all sorts of places. I've got a completely diversified portfolio. So it's challenging because I'm an investor in so many different funds and so many different partnerships. I want to make sure I don't overexpose myself to a certain region. So I personally own properties in San Francisco. I've got a bunch of opportunity zone projects in New York and LA and Seattle and you name it. My portfolio is on zane-ventures.com and it lists some of the real estate I own. But we at Bluefield are focused more on the non-coastal cities and more so in the mid parts of the US. These are areas where Bluefield has seen tremendous returns. Places like Columbia, Missouri, or Salt Lake City, Utah, or areas like that are very interesting to us. But at Bluefield, we buy real estate across half the US, but we pretty much avoid the coastal areas right now. We're nervous about that, especially with the work from home movement. Florida, on the other hand, is probably the exception. Florida, I think, does have great, great potential. But multifamily is probably 45% of the portfolio at Bluefield, and we'll probably over-index to 60% for what we're doing right now. And then probably pick up a few, one or two industrial centers, warehouses, maybe a distressed office retail. And then senior care is something I completely forgot to talk about, but senior care is something I also think is going to be huge. With the growing population and the need for better senior care, I think that's an area of interest, but it's a complex space for sure.
Yeah. I don't think you guys are too far off from what I'm currently doing in our initiatives. Our initiatives I found to actually is very different than what a lot of big real estate companies are doing. And it's very unique, and it's actually funny enough. I mean, I stopped buying real estate and multifamily back in 2017.
I stopped.
Yeah. I don't know if I shared that story with you, but I usually don't talk about this on the air a whole lot, but this is a very organic podcast and it's actually probably one of my favorites that I've done because it's a very natural conversation. So back in 2017, I bought my last asset and I was looking at another asset, and it was a smaller one. It was a 24 unit building, and I pull up and I'm meeting my partner, my former partner there was a property manager. And, I see needles and garbage all throughout the parking lot. Mm. And I get off and then there's a car next to us and all his windows are shattered and, the tires are gone and, the engine's missing. And I walk in and there's stains everywhere on the carpet. You can't even tell what color the walls are. And we check out one of the units and this guy owns it. He's a bit of a slumlord. And we get in and, all the cabinets are gone. Appliances look like they haven't been replaced since the 90s. And there's a huge hole in the living room. And so I know that market very well, around there. I own 3 apartments in that market and I was very familiar with it. I grew up around that area. So I knew that market extremely, extremely well. And so I knew that it wasn't worth a hair over 700,000.
Huh.
And so we offered 750 and we got laughed out of the building.
Wow.
And so I get a call 2 weeks later from my property manager, who's very, he keeps his ears very, very close to the ground. And he goes, remember that building that we saw, we checked out 2 weeks ago, we got laughed out. There were needles everywhere in the parking lot. I'm like, yeah, what happened to it? He's like, it got sold. I'm like, you're kidding. And I'm expecting, you know, 800,000, 835 maybe, because, you know, maybe the seller wanted something a little bit more. And he goes, they sold it to a group out of California for 1.45. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And so he says, this is what's happening right now, what I'm seeing all throughout the country. And so I stopped buying, and I typically, you know, pray about a lot of business decisions. And, you know, as crazy it may sound, I was told by God to stop buying. And he told me, hey, listen, I'm going to have an opportunity for you. There's going to be something coming. Just wait. And so I did. So I focused on raising capital. I focused on learning. I focused on building relationships, focusing on the YouTube channel, right? All the great stuff that we did. And then, you know, I knew in the back of my mind, I had this gut feeling, right? Whatever you want to call it, God, the universe, you know, your gut, that pizza you ate last night that you shouldn't have had. I don't know. But it's in the back of my mind. And I get a call about nine months ago to a year ago. And it's my buddy, Kevin, who's now my primary real estate partner. And Kevin's got a lot of experience. So he's 51 this year and used to work for a company called Wachovia Funds in the equity space. And he was actually one of their top risk assessors. And, you know, he's one of the guys who predicted the 08 crash, you know, wrote a book called The 100-Year Market Theory, which I think everybody should read, especially if they're in the equity space. Because it's a model that they're still using today, you know, Goldman Sachs, they're all using it. And so he gives me a call and he starts telling me about this opportunity. And it's a certain location, it's a certain exit strategy. So it's a certain where and how. And in my opinion, I think it's going to be the greatest opportunity in real estate, you know, since 1900 in Detroit. So it's fantastic. That's kind of what we've got going on now. I can tell you about it off the air, you know, because I feel comfortable telling you. But I don't necessarily want everybody knowing, just for the sake of my investors and protecting their interests. But, you know, it's a phenomenal opportunity. And, you know, to kind of piggyback off what you said, you know, I think there's tremendous, tremendous opportunities in the real estate space coming up. You know, I think in the next 6 to 9 months, depending on what happens with the elections. You know, I have a buddy of mine who just bought Pier 1 Imports, and he's very focused on creating industrial warehouses and creating and transitioning it into an e-commerce, you know, platform of doing business. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, you're a smart guy, and I'm glad, you know, this is a lot like when you're in gym class and the teacher says, all right, we're going to play kickball. And you've got that one kid who plays soccer, who's really good. I feel like I'm on a team and the captain just picked you, my friend. And, you know, you're the soccer player with the nasty foot who can kick it 100 yards. So I feel good about being on the same team as you. Let's say that.
I appreciate that. As long as we've got our eyes in the same direction of where the goal is, right? And I definitely feel that too. This is a really good time to start looking. There is so much that's going to happen on the macroeconomic level with the upcoming elections. We don't know what's going to happen exactly with the evictions. Courts are, we're experiencing this too. Courts are interpreting the new CDC guidelines very differently. Even in the same state, even in the same damn courthouse, even the same, you know, different judges in the same courthouse interpreting it differently too. So this is a good time to have dry powder. There's a lot of dry powder sitting on the sidelines in private equity as well. And this is an amazing time to be in real estate, either as an entrepreneur trying to build a prop tech startup or as a real estate investor or someone aspiring to come in. Wonderful times. I mean, imagine learning about the technology during the dot-com boom or the dot-com bust. Great times for sure, right? And this is the equivalent of that today in real estate too. So Daniel, I want to thank you a lot for coming on the show.
And, hey, thank you, my friend.